The Tom Woods Show, episode 1703.
Prepare to set fire to the index card of allowable opinion. Your daily dose of liberty education starts here. The Tom Woods Show.
Hey, everybody. Tom Woods here, talking today about schooling and homeschooling, given what's going on in the world right now, and particularly in the United States. There are different approaches to reopening the schools in different parts of the country, as you know. In our area, they're giving people choices. They can send their kids to school in person as normal. They can do a kind of a hybrid arrangement, I guess, where there's a little time at school and some time at home, and then an entirely home-based arrangement where the lessons are delivered electronically. Other parts of the country, I know I've heard of places where they're just not opening in person at all. New York City says they're not going to have in-person instruction until there's a vaccine. I read that somewhere. Until there's a vaccine. So in other words, just it's amazing to me that when you consider that the public school system is basically the American church, it's the closest thing we have to the American church, man, these people must be either really, really frightened or really, really committed to the propaganda to let the American church suffer like this. This is really the instrument by which they, well, I hate to use a boomer kind of sledgehammer word, but indoctrinate the rising generation, and they're willing to give that up right now. So, as I say, there are different arrangements going on around the country. Around the world, we're seeing in one place after another, they're just opening the schools. Sweden more or less kept the schools open, and Finland didn't, and then the health results for kids were completely the same. Because as we know, kids basically don't get this thing. They essentially don't. We pretty much know that. So what we're seeing, though, are things like the New York Times today talking about teachers' unions saying that they won't go back and they also don't want to teach online. So just pay us for sitting around, pretty much what they're saying. So, okay, well, I guess that's one approach to the matter. Somebody told me about on his local news, there was a very young, like early 20s teacher on television who was practically in tears contemplating what it would be like for her to return to in-person instruction. She has zero chance of anything happening to her. I mean, basically zero. I mean, far, far better chance of dying in a car accident on the way to the school. So her risk profile has increased by, let's say, 10 to the negative 7th percent, and yet she's hysterical about it. So then the question has to be, would we want our children being educated by people like this who are so unscientific? People who, on the one hand, lecture you about the science and who have that sign in front of their houses, you know, that in this house we believe love is love and Black Lives Matter and science is real. Have you seen that? But I don't think they really do believe that so-called science is real. They believe all kinds of hysterical nonsense that is refuted by science. So these are the people who claim that they're morally superior to you and intellectually superior because of their commitment to science. And yet these are the same people wearing masks on the beach, you know? These are the same people who are terrified of something that is not going to harm them. So it has led some parents to ask themselves some serious questions. What are we going to do with our kids? Particularly in some places where the formula for returning to school is, well, frankly, dystopian, with social distancing and masks all day on a kid's face, a mask all day long. Could you imagine sitting there all day long, not being distracted in learning for 7 or 8 hours with a mask? All kinds of crazy things. We're going to go in the hallway and this way and that. We're going to have arrows on the floor. Regiment and anything fun that might have existed in school, that's all gone. So parents are asking themselves questions. Am I going to send my children back into this type of environment? Then secondly, there's the matter of the home instruction their children received for several months, which in some cases revealed to parents just how little time is spent on actual academic work in the typical public school day, because they would see that their children were finishing their assignments in an hour and a half, 2 hours. So what are they doing all day? You know, if that's really all the time they need to spend, maybe I'll just have them spend that time at home and have them do what really interests them in the rest of the time, whatever. In other words, the point is, parents are thinking about things more than ever before. fundamental questions. They're entertaining fundamental questions more than ever before. And we have seen polls indicating that homeschooling will get a real shot in the arm. Now, I can say anecdotally that I've seen some evidence of this in the case of the Ron Paul curriculum, which, as you know, is a self-taught K through 12 homeschool program that I contributed 400 videos to a number of years ago. And we generally see the most activity in terms of signups to the curriculum in the 2 months you would expect, August and September. And then sometimes people switch midstream around January. We get a little bit of a bump in January, but really August and September. So June is actually a much, much quieter month than you might think. You might think there are a lot of parents who want to get a head start on things and get everything lined up and dot their I's and cross their T's and everything. But really, I don't think that's the case for most people. So June and July, they're okay, but there's nothing extraordinary about them in terms of signups. People generally wait, if not to the last minute, then, well, pretty darn close. But yet, here we are getting to the end of July 2020 as I record this. And I would say, as an affiliate of the Ron Paul curriculum, so I see when people, I don't know their names, but I get a notification when I've made an affiliate sale. I've definitely seen an uptick in sales in July, which is normally a quiet-ish month. So it'll really be interesting to see what happens in August and September. All right, so I've got a whole bunch of people who listen to this program who have no children at all, and I have a whole bunch of people who have at least one child. So I don't know if this will be interesting to all of you, but I'm going to do my best, because even if you don't have children, even if you have no intention of having children, surely you understand the value and the importance of homeschooling and the importance of educational materials that are not intended to turn the kid into an automaton intellectually. And of course, another nice feature of the Ron Paul program, but really of almost any homeschool curriculum, is that it gets them out of that stultifying conformist environment in which they're more or less told what to think, what to favor, what to disfavor, what slogans to repeat. They're pressured by their peers to think and do certain things. You can get away from that altogether. And that's no small benefit to all this. So let me say a little something then about this. And I would not have done this episode if I hadn't received an email from somebody saying there are a lot of us who would like you to do this. Talk to us about the Ron Paul program, because some of us are really at our wit's end as to what to do, and we would like to hear what the deal is. So back in, I guess it was probably late 2013 or sometime in 2013, I heard from Dr. Paul. He had recently retired from Congress. The beginning of 2013, January was when when Obama was sworn in for his second term, and Dr. Paul had retired at the end of that cycle. And he had been wanting to create a homeschool program for a long time. So he decided that now he's in a position to be able to do it. And he said that it's not a Christian curriculum per se. It is, you could say, sympathetic to Christianity, but it's not per se a Christian curriculum. So it's not that you have to have particular religious presuppositions in order to benefit from the curriculum. That's not true at all. It is an unapologetically pro-liberty curriculum. And what I mean by that, when I think about my own courses, is not that I just take the opportunity to propagandize students, but rather to let them know there's more than one way to look at a question. So here's the conventional way that you might attack such and such question. Like, for example, in my government course, there's a section of that course where I look at various government policies. So anything ranging from agriculture policy to welfare policy to monetary policy and so on and so forth. And I just let them know that here's a way of looking at it that you might not get in the newspaper. But yet, as you can see, it's easily defensible and there's an enormous amount of evidence behind it. So they walk away realizing that the world is not a comic book. And that is the impression that I got in junior high and high school. I got the impression that I had a very, very comic bookish view of American history, that without government, everybody would be dead in a coal mine or something. I wasn't equipped to think beyond that. And if you want something desirable, that you pass a law to force it into effect. That was the extent of my thought on a lot of things. So this liberates you from that. But so first of all, so here's how it's organized. The thing I like about it is it's every year-long course is 180 videos because it's 36 weeks, 5 videos a week. So one video per day. And with my courses, it's a video plus a little bit of reading each day. And then on the fifth day, we do a review of the week and there's a writing assignment. So every single week, each week of the 36 weeks, they're writing. So they get to be good writers and efficient writers. And I would add that the benefit of that fifth day being a review is pedagogical. That is to say, repetition does help us to keep things in our minds, especially when you're learning something for the first time. You listen to a 30-minute lecture, maybe you remember 3 sentences worth of it. But if somebody goes over the highlights of it with you, not only do you remember it, but it gets situated in your brain more firmly, let's say. So what I do actually in every single lecture is at the beginning of the video, I take 3 to 5 minutes to review everything I covered in the previous one. So there's a little review built into each lesson and then a week's worth of review built into the fifth lesson of the week. So there's no reading on that fifth day because they're doing their writing assignment and they're watching the review. So that's a way to make sure that even though, yeah, nobody's going to remember everything in a Western civilization course, but that a lot of it takes root in their minds. Now, there are a lot of areas in my Western civilization course where you can see how a concern about liberty comes into the presentation. So I've got several lectures on Marxism, and I present it dispassionately, and then I raise some objections for the students to consider. So there's that. I spend some time on classical liberalism, that is to say, the early libertarianism. I spend some time talking about Frederick Bastiat, who would not be mentioned in a typical Western civilization course, but he is a very important figure. Also, the typical Western civilization course is 1 year. Our Western civilization offerings are 2 years long. So it's 360 videos on Western civilization. You're going to walk away with a lot of knowledge if you complete that course. So also, it's not even just that my course, for example, will cover material that wouldn't be in other courses, like, for example, spending some time on Frederick Bastiat, but it's also the way I'm going to tackle some of the topics. So, for example, Aristotle is not really thought of in general as having been a pioneer in the theory of individual rights. The idea of natural rights really goes back to the Middle Ages, but not before, is the standard understanding. And I do talk about the origin of natural rights theories in the Middle Ages, the High Middle Ages, in my course on government. But what's interesting is that in fairly recent years, a scholar of Aristotle named Fred Miller has done some interesting work in which he says, sure, the words natural rights do not appear in Aristotle, but if you look closely at what he's doing, he's actually not a million miles away from them either. And Miller's work has been fairly sympathetically received. So when it comes to discussing Aristotle, therefore, I spend a little time talking about the work and contributions of Fred Miller to our understanding of Aristotle. And that's the sort of thing that I think is virtually certain to be left out of any other coverage of Aristotle at this level, the high school level. I don't think anybody's talking about Fred Miller. Now, I want to point out that it's not right to say that the Ron Paul curriculum is like history and economics with a pro-liberty slant or something. In these courses, we are letting people know that there are, again, multiple ways of looking at the world. But also, I want to point out, we do have the standard subjects too, you know, math and science, all that stuff, English, it's all in there. And the sciences, for instance, are taught, I mean, I'm thinking about the middle school science classes because those are just raved about. They're taught by a fellow named Daniel Dignan, who's extremely enthusiastic. And the great thing about them is they're not just a bunch of dry formulas that kids are not going to remember. It's not going to be meaningful to them. They'll memorize it for the test sort of thing, you know, but it's not going to really take root in their minds. So he's got a much more practical, hands-on approach, where he teaches a lot of material that's very, very interesting, highly practical, and that kids would be more likely to retain. So he covers plenty of material on robotics, and if, you know, parents want to do it with them, the students can work on robotics projects in his courses. Or meteorology, not the sort of thing taught in the typical middle school science course, but he teaches it. Or how to be self-sufficient in the outdoors. All these things have plenty of science embedded in them, but not in the dry, abstract way of the traditional textbook. So this is why we've had case after case of students who finish, let's say, the seventh grade science early, and they just want to go on ahead to the eighth grade science because they love Daniel Dignan and they love the material, right? I mean, how would you like that to be your problem? Your student is champing at the bit to move on to the next level of science. But it is true that it's not just a matter of the way we teach the traditional subjects is superior. We also teach other subjects, subjects you're just not going to find anywhere else. For example, Timothy Terrell, whom I've had on the show recently, he did a course on personal finance for teens that's absolutely out of this world fantastic. I mean, it covers everything. It is going to give your student a massive leg up just in terms of just having his life together. Everything you can imagine taught there, but you know, how to read your paycheck, how to budget, what are guidelines to keep in mind when buying a car. He talks about various types of expenses that you may have and about saving. And it's tremendous, an extraordinary course. We have a course on public speaking. I want people to be good public speakers. And this course helps them to do that. And we use video technology for the instructor to be able to evaluate the speaking abilities of the student and to work on them and improve them. So they do that. They learn how to start a blog, which is a great thing to know in this day and age. We have business courses that will teach them, for example, how to do copywriting. Now, I don't mean copyright like in the intellectual property sense, but no, copywriting, copywriting, advertising copy, which is, you know, writing text for advertising and or email marketing or any of that sort of thing. That is a skill almost nobody has. Certainly, nobody's taught that in high school, guaranteed. You know, they're taught a lot of things they'll never, ever use, but they're not taught something extremely practical and not to mention lucrative like this. I'm a big, big fan of the Business 2 course. You're going to want to take this course. It's amazing that imagine your student taking a course like this. The first 6 weeks are an overview of the world of business, and you won't believe how thorough it is. Then another 6 weeks, the instructor goes through a whole bunch of different business opportunities that the student might consider. So anything from search engine optimization to graphic design, copywriting, photography, website security, selling products online, social media management, book publishing, ghostwriting, video production for business, video production for families, app development, 3D printing, bookkeeping and accounting. So there's a huge amount of time spent on that just to give a sampling of all these different sorts of fields to the student. Then there's a lot of time spent on the development of marketable skills. So 15 lessons on basic graphic design, 5 lessons on copywriting, 10 lessons on publishing on Kindle, and so on and so forth. And then lessons on how to develop a business plan, how to draft a marketing plan, how to do social media marketing, how to build your business website, how to launch a product. It's incredible, the advantage that you would have with that course. If students have questions about any of the material, then we have Q&A forums in which they can help each other. And that's by and large what happens. Now, in the case of my courses, I did 3 courses. The first Western Civ course, the second Western Civ course. So the first one goes from the ancient Hebrews about to the year 1500 or so. And then the second course goes from 1500 down to the present. I mean, really up to the end of the 20th century. And the third course is a half-year course, so instead of 180 lessons, 90 lessons, and that is on government. And again, when you see it's all kinds of things. There's theory in there, like I talk about some of the important political theorists of the 20th century, and some of them are not particularly good people. So we talk about their ideas, though, like John Rawls, for example, and a bunch of others. And we go into comparative systems, different systems of government. We go into various government policies, the various problems governments face. We talk about public choice, a lot of material. And it really, it's like 20 years of learning on my part that I've distilled into the 90 lessons. So what I've done with my courses, just my courses, is I actually have a website where if people don't want to join the Ron Paul curriculum, but they would like my three courses, you can do that at tomwoodshomeschool.com. Now, when you buy them through the Ron Paul curriculum, you get them at half off, but you have to join the Ron Paul curriculum to do that. There are other ways to get my three courses, by the way. One is to become at least a gold member at supportinglisteners.com. And what's the other thing? No, I guess that's it. I guess that is it. TomWoodsHomeschool.com is where you can get them a la carte. You can also get them as a bonus and a special benefit at the gold or above level at supportinglisteners.com. And you can get them through the Ron Paul curriculum, through ronpaulhomeschool.com. So the other thing I want to say is something that you all probably, a great many of you know already, but I just want to reiterate this. One of the things I do as part of this is I also promote the curriculum as an affiliate. And I want people to order the curriculum through me, because of course I earn a commission that way, and that helps to compensate me for the literal two years of my life that I devoted to this. And I mean constant. I mean like no pleasures. If I was eating lunch by myself somewhere in the middle of my workday, I had a history book next to me going through to get some good anecdotes and whatever. I was constantly working. So what I've done is I created the website ronpaulhomeschool.com. And there, if you click the link there to order, I give you three bonuses. And the bonuses are really good bonuses. The first one is a basic plus membership at libertyclassroom.com, which now has, I think we have 26 courses there. So a whole bunch of new courses. I designed Liberty Classroom really for adult enrichment, but a lot of homeschoolers have used it. So you get all those courses, and you also get access to our Q&A forums. You get access to our live Q&A sessions. That's an amazing bonus. That normally costs $119, and I'm throwing that in with the Ron Paul curriculum for free. All you have to do is use my link. It doesn't cost you anything extra. Use my link, of course. So that's the first of the three bonuses. The second bonus is I created an entire course just for people who use my link. And that is I think it's a 10 lecture course aimed at middle schoolers on the foundations of liberty. And you get that course for free if you use my link. Third thing you get for free if you use my link is a signed and personalized copy of my book, New York Times bestselling book, The Politically Incorrect Guide to American History. I mail that to you. So you get those three things. So you combine those things together, and it comes out to about $160 worth of bonuses that you get for free as long as you specifically make sure and click through ronpaulhomeschool.com and join through there. Now, listen, I get that this episode sounds like an infomercial, and I don't know, maybe it is. I don't know. But the world is just going completely crazy right now. And it's so crazy that the people who want to brainwash your kids are even willing to stop doing that for a while. You know, I mean, I can't get over this, what's going on. We're seeing the range of allowable opinion becoming narrower and narrower. We're seeing just the country is much nastier all the time. Dissident voices are punished more and more severely. And schools are just like the worst of it. They're conformity factories. They really are. And I understand that naturally, parents are looking around to figure out what on earth am I supposed to do for my kids. So, you know, I spent 2 years of my life on this, and that's a long, long, long time. It was they were the hardest years of my life. I wasn't unhappy. I felt very fulfilled working on this project because I knew it was going to do a lot of good for a lot of people. But man, was it hard work. So, yes, I believe I have the solution to people's problem. And since I have that solution and I have a podcast, I'm going to put those two things together and tell people about that solution. So if this interests you, ronpaulhomeschool.com is the link. Now, what I'll do at tomwoods.com/1703 is I'll link to ronpaulhomeschool.com. I'll also link to tomwoodshomeschool.com if you just want my courses. And I will also link to an over-the-shoulder YouTube video I made walking people through the curriculum on my screen. And you can watch my screen as I explain it to you. So if you want a little bit more information, you can go and watch that video, which is kind of a review of the features and benefits of the curriculum. So this will all be up at tomwoods.com/1703. All right, that's all done. I hope you all go check that out, and I'll see you tomorrow.
Become a smarter libertarian in just 30 minutes a day. Visit tomwoods.com to subscribe to the show for free, and we'll see you next time.
Like the sound of the Tom Woods Show? My audio production is provided by Podsworth Media. Check them out at podsworth.com.